I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
It's Dr. Kevin Mose, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And Dr. Kevin Mose joins us now. You have friends in Houston, Doc?
You know what? We both do. Well, not Houston, San Antonio, Tom Byram.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Tom and Dana live there, and actually their daughter lives in Sugarland, which is right outside of Houston. So
it's
unfortunately in Calgary, so he's not concerned. I talked to him yesterday.
The fourth largest city by population in the country, not that far behind us, by the way. And imagine dumping that kind of water on Chicago and hope to God that it never happens. So your prayers are needed. All right, I want to hit you with something before we jump to the topic here.
Yeah.
And I texted you this last night. I don't know if this is a bigger deal just for hospital revenues or if it's a bigger deal for patients, but Anthem, the Blue Cross Blue Shield provider, the company, is no longer going to pay for MRIs and CT scans performed on an outpatient basis in hospitals across the country. They're saying it's because hospitals, you guys charge too much, and it'll be cheaper and therefore help healthcare costs to do it on an outpatient basis at clinics and strip malls and, you know, various other places where they're provided. But to me, it creates an issue if, and tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, if I come into you and I need an MRI or a CT scan and you go, well, we can't do that here, get in your car and go down the street or wherever.
It'll definitely fragment care. So I think of it even the other way. Even you're in the hospital, you have a medical condition, we do an MRI on you. Now you're discharged and we need to have a follow-up MRI on an outpatient basis, and we can't do it at the same place. So there's no comparison that can be made. You're having different people read it on different machines, and you just can't do that. So that's going to be one of the problems. Anthem is looking at this from more than just imaging as well. They have an app where you can find out what the lowest cost is for medications, for laboratory, for x-rays, for procedures. So there's definitely going to be a push to try to decrease the expenses out of, decrease the activity out of hospitals.
Well, there's parts of that that make sense, right? But there's also parts of it that medically don't make sense. So who gets to decide what goes?
Yeah, it is going to be the insurers. You know, there's always this healthy tension between providers and insurers. And you have to realize, too, people say, well, why is it so much more expensive at a hospital? Well, there's a bunch of reasons. One, we have to man that 24/7. Two, we have federal regulations that these places and strip malls are not going to have. So our staffing, our building requirements, our joint commission requirements, we try to keep the state-of-the-art equipment here. We try to make sure that we have the best. I can tell you, if you have an MRI done at Central DuPage of your brain, it's going to be run by a fellowship-trained neuroradiologist.
Right.
So we have this specialized care as well.
Yeah, and honestly, look, everybody's opinions are what they are, and you're all entitled to them. But you get what you pay for when it comes to health care as well. And I'm not advocating the highest possible cost for things, but I do think it has to make sense. And I would be concerned if insurance companies suddenly started to go back to, it's a revenue-based model, it's not a are-you-okay-or-not-okay model.
Oh, absolutely. And people have to realize, too, the vast majority of hospitals in this country have very razor-thin margins. You're talking 1%, 2%, 3%,
right,
maybe. And a lot of their margin is coming from imaging. So when that gets taken away, you're going to see things starting to get cut. I mean, just look what's happened here in the Chicagoland market in the past 6 months. You know, Advocate earlier in the year, you know, talked about a $200 million cut. Just recently, Edward Elmhurst, a $50 million cut in a hiring freeze on 300 people. We're talking about hospitals getting squeezed right now from the insurers, from Affordable Care Act, and just costs are going up. It's a tough business to be in right now.
We'll come back in just a second after traffic and tackle another important topic, as Doc does every Monday. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, Doc, let's talk medical marijuana, because there's not enough for the people in Springfield to argue about.
Right.
So how many states now have approved medical marijuana?
Well, 29 states have approved medical marijuana, and then a total of 44 states allow the use of something called CBD, which is one of the chemicals that's in marijuana to be used. So, but 29 states right now have approved it, and the other ones are, a lot of them are looking at it.
And where are we in Illinois?
We approve it. We've approved it. And matter of fact, in Illinois, we have probably one of the wider lists of approved medical conditions that can be treated. I think we're up to about 40, if I'm not mistaken.
So do all of the conditions have to be approved on a case-by-case basis, or a condition-by-condition basis, I should say?
Correct. That you have to have a medical condition, and a doctor has to verify that by examining you and doing the appropriate tests needed for that. And then he would write a letter of certification for you saying, yes, you have this condition, and you are approved to use medical marijuana.
And there's got to be medical people involved in that. It's not like the people in Springfield know what's medically appropriate or isn't.
Totally. Yep. The physician is actually responsible then to monitor you while you're taking the medical marijuana as well, to show that it's improving or to show what's going on with your symptoms or the disease process.
So we have plenty of regulation on this. What is the pushback into making this more readily available for more things? Because I assume there's a list of things that it ought to be available for.
Yeah, you know, and when you really look at what it is available for and the changes that it can make and the impact it can make on someone's life, we have to get over that this is a bad drug and, you know, used properly in the right fashion for the right people, non-recreational. I'm talking about just the medicinal side of it. It really makes an impact on people. I mean, there's a whole list of conditions that people won't argue with at all, saying, yes, this helps. There's others where it says, oh, fibromyalgia, okay, it helps. But, you know, that's the soft science. But there's hard science behind many other conditions that it is important on. And, you know, they're always talking about this as a gateway drug. This is a gateway drug, and that's why we can't do it. And you know, the argument on the other side is this isn't a gateway drug. The only reason it's a gateway drug is because of the distribution process, where you have to go on the street and buy it illegally from a drug dealer, and now this individual is trying to sell you something else.
And honestly, I get it. I get why people are concerned about it. You certainly don't want a bigger drug problem in this country than we already have. But if there is a medical need for meds, the people that are abusing opioids in this country make marijuana look like a walk in the park.
Totally. And to be honest with you, quite a few people have been able to get off of opiates and because of their use of marijuana. Jim McMahon is a perfect example. You talk to him about how opiates were running his life, and now he openly will tell you how often he smokes marijuana and that he hasn't used opiates and that he doesn't need the pain medication. That story is over and over. He just happens to be a celebrity.
It's a big deal for little kids who are sick too, right?
It is. You know, when we look at kids that are sick, and we also look at adults that are taking chemotherapy, chemotherapy makes you feel extremely nauseated, and it makes you feel terrible. The marijuana, the THC, takes down a lot of that nausea, and that's twofold. One, it makes them feel better. Two, it allows them to eat because it also stimulates their appetite. Caloric intake for people with cancer. How many times have you seen somebody with cancer and said, oh my gosh, you know, he's down to 100 pounds?
Yep.
Well, it's because they're nauseated and they're not feeling well. The marijuana allows them to take away that nausea and also stimulates their appetite so that they put on weight, or at least they try to maintain the weight as they're going through this terrible treatment.
I was at a family wedding this weekend, and somebody was using medical marijuana there for glaucoma and other eye conditions. Is that even expanding in regards to vision?
It is. And, you know, we've known that for years. We've known that since the 70s when a big study was done. And the interesting thing there is glaucoma is a disease that causes blindness. And as we age, we have a higher chance of getting it, although you can still get it when you're young. But as you age, you can't. The problem with glaucoma medications is, I don't know how you are in putting eye drops in, but I'm not any good at it. It hits my forehead, I blink, it does that. That's the medication that we're trying to get in you. So think about a senior that's trying to do that and trying to remember to do it four times a day. So those medications, not only that, at least some of them are generic, but a lot of the newer ones are expensive, where marijuana is fairly inexpensive.
Doc, does it reduce inflammation, the THC, or is it reducing the pain caused by the inflammation?
Dave, it's a great question because it actually appears to do a few things. In glaucoma, it just actually allows the pressure to be lowered in the eye. But a lot of the other areas where it's being used, arthritis is a big one. You know, it's taking down inflammation, actually. The science behind it we're unsure of yet. But probably the more exciting thing is what's going on with concussions, what's going on with stroke patients, and potentially what's going on with Alzheimer's patients because of its activity in the brain. Not so much taking down inflammation, not so much relieving pain, but binding at sites in the brain that are causing other problems.
Seizures, anxiety disorders, PTSD, ulcerative colitis, all of these things can be positively impacted by medical marijuana. So look, if we know that there's tight regulations on this, and we know that doctors, in our experience, have been doing their job, and we know that Illinois has been fairly liberal about this. Frankly, Doc, we also know that if we grow it as a cash crop and we tax it, there's more money to be made for a state that's flat broke. I don't see a lot of downside here.
No. And to be honest with you, it's safer. These individuals now that are going out in the street that are getting it, unfortunately, drug dealers are lacing theirs. In the state-owned ones, the quality control is much tighter. And you do, you talk about someone that has seizures, and taking seizure medication can often make you drowsy, can make you feel bad. You know, this allows you to stop your seizures. We're using it in Parkinson's patients because it allows them to have better fine motor skills. We have to, I'm not a huge drug advocate, and I'll be totally honest with you, you'll all laugh, but I've never had marijuana ever in my life.
Neither have I.
Everyone's like, yeah, right, sure. But
well, especially in me. Imagine when I tell people that, but I haven't.
Yeah. But when you look at the studies and you look at how it can impact patients, it's time that we change, and it's time that we look at the opportunities here to really impact some patients' lives.
Well said by you, and let your legislators know that's how you feel if, in fact, you do agree. Doc, great information. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, impacting people every day because they're making people better by making medicine better. And we're back with the news. And Dan Hampton next, and more from Houston as the Steve Cochran Show continues on 720 WGN.